the completion of our annual financial statements and budget. Jeanine also helps to coordinate the transient occupancy tax and the business license programs. She always can be counted on to respond to any calls or questions from other staff members or members of the public with her friendly demeanor, big smile, and exceptional customer service skills. Jeanine has a strong work ethic and can always be depended on to help wherever she is needed, and she's just plain fun to work with. When she's not working, Jeanine enjoys spending as much time as possible with her family and beautiful grandchildren or working on a fun and creative sewing project. Jeanine, thank you for a terrific job. We're very happy to have you here. Thank you so much. I want to hug. Oh,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Cindy, who also beamed me with a ball, I have to say.
How can we get on this beaming the city manager with a ball?
I don't know. Maybe we could turn it into a fundraiser of some sort. So this is Cynthia Chavez. She has also been with us 5 years in the Administrative Services Department. She is the Deputy Director. We've seen Cynthia at various council meetings on the very occasion when Jerry can't be here, and she's always adds a lot. That way I'm looking behind me the whole time. For 5 years now, Cindy has been a key member of the finance team. She assists in the preparation of the city's two-year budget, annual financial statements, and audit process. She prepares the state and federal reports and reconciliations. She coordinates financial and accounting activities with the other city departments and answers questions from staff regarding revenues, expenditures, and budgets. Cindy coordinates the city's grants, ensuring compliance and maximization of benefits. She provides ongoing professional assistance to the director and serves as the acting director when needed. In 2016, she attended the Emergency Management Institute in Maryland as a city representative. She is also an ongoing representative on the city's safety committee and helps to manage the city's insurance coverage and risk management activities. In addition, Cindy was a key member in the recent implementation of the city's new permit system, TrackIt. She's a graduate of San Jose State with a Bachelor of Science degree in accounting. Cindy is smart, dedicated, and has a great sense of humor, definitely, and is well respected by all who know her. At the time she was hired here at the city, Cindy lived in King City, but she and her family have since built a home in Paso Robles, which is where they live now with their son. We are very fortunate to have her as a member of the city family, and we really appreciate having Cindy with us. She is truly fun to work with, a joy to work with, always professional, and she's been a great addition to the city family. So thank you very, very much.
I want to hug you.
I appreciate it. Come on up, Luke. Hold on. So we all know Luke, right? Luke's the one that keeps everything going here at the city council meetings and at the city. Pretty much everything we do goes through Luke and his department these days. When our technology is down, it's an ugly thing. A lot of things come to...
Which is not often.
It's not often at all. Very, very rarely, honestly. So Luke is our IT manager. He's been with the city for 15 years. Luke started with the city as a student intern way back near the turn of the century, back in 2002. In 2003... due to his educational background and experience with GIS applications and software, we hired him on as our full-time GIS analyst. We immediately put him to work with designing, implementing, and maintaining the city's GIS database. He also designed, executed, and continues to maintain and update the city's website, in addition to all of the critical IT-related tasks and needs that continually come up on a daily and sometimes it seems like hourly basis. In addition to always making sure that all of our IT needs are taken care of here, he makes sure that these council meetings run smoothly and takes care of all that. Due to his experience and knowledge of the city's IT needs, his teamwork mindset, his understanding of meeting our city council's goals, his excellent customer service skills, and his vision of IT's effect on the entire organization, it was an easy decision to promote Luke to the position of IT manager in 2013. where he has truly excelled and has proven himself to be a true and very capable leader of the IT department. Luke is also a Cal Poly graduate. Go Mustangs. He and his wife, Carrie, live here in Atascadero, and they are raising four rapidly growing and very active children, three boys and a girl, who keep them extremely busy with all of their various youth sports and other activities, which includes Luke coaching as many of their teams as possible. Luke was very, very instrumental. He was a project manager in making sure that TrackIt got implemented, kept that project moving, in spite of a lot of very challenging hurdles and other things. He's an amazing project manager, gets things done, and he's fantastic to work with. He's kind of that air traffic controller, kind of putting out fires, and I'm mixing my metaphors here and there, at all times. And we are extremely lucky to have Luke. So Luke, thank you for your service to your family and the community, in addition to everything you do for us here at the city. I truly don't think we could get along a day without you. So thank you. Okay, if I can have my three employees and have the council come around, and we'll take some pictures if that's okay.
That's always fun. We are definitely a family here, as you can tell. Next, we have a presentation from WineSpeak with Macy Cox, who is a WineSpeak Logistics Specialist, and Christine Curtis, WineSpeak Marketing Coordinator. Good evening, ladies.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having us. My name is Macy Cox. I'm the Logistics Specialist for WineSpeak.
And I'm Christine Curtis, and I'm the Marketing Coordinator for WineSpeak.
We're both really excited that we could be here tonight. We really wanted to just be able to thank all of you in person for providing your beautiful facilities for us to use during WineSpeak. And for those of you who don't know what WineSpeak is, it's a four-day convention that we held here in Atascadero in January. And it's geared towards some of the biggest and best professionals in the wine industry, and it's bringing those people from all over the world as well as locally in Paso Robles together to collaborate and share ideas. And essentially the goal is to help elevate the Paso Robles AVA as an up-and-coming wine region. So this was our second year having WineSpeak, and these are some of the highlights of this year. It was a great success. It was bigger and better than last year, and we were really happy with it. We ended up visiting 9 wineries throughout the week through 3 different tech tours. 36 Paso Robles wineries were featured at our grand tasting event, which had around 400 attendees. 45 total Paso Robles wineries were highlighted throughout the entire week, not to mention over 25 local food vendors, many of which were from Atascadero. We held 13 unique events within the Paso Robles AVA throughout the week. The event had a 98% sellout rate, which was awesome. And we also had 28 winemakers attend our inaugural VitTech tasting and workshop. And we were also able to extend 10 scholarships to up-and-coming wine somms from all throughout the nation. So as we said, WineSpeak attracted some of the highest caliber attendees and key influencers within the wine industry. We had around 800 attendees check in throughout the week, and almost half of those were from out of the area, which was exciting. And on average, of those attendees, they attended 3 of the 4 days of the event, and they spent around 3 nights in Atascadero. And we hosted a lot of those people at both the Carlton and Holiday Inn Express, and heard nothing but good things. Everyone loved Atascadero. So this map just kind of highlights the majority of where our attendees came from. It was really cool. We were excited to get so many people from the East Coast, and just such a wide variety of attendees. As far as sponsorship exposure goes, we were fortunate enough to have a lot of partners this year. We ended up partnering with some really big brand names, such as Hawaiian Airlines and even Kawasaki. And Kawasaki actually came and brought several units, and they flanked all the entrances of every event throughout the week. They were super excited. They loved it all. But with all that being said, you guys were by far the most valuable sponsor that we could have had, because without your generous support through these venues, we wouldn't have been able to hold an event of this caliber. So thank you guys. And for those of you who weren't able to attend, here are a few of the, just some highlight images from the week. And everyone absolutely loves City Hall and the building.
It makes for great photos, marketing.
I'll try and keep this short, but as far as the scholarships we extended, 8 of those were through a nonprofit that we partnered with called Dream Big Darling. Essentially, their mission is to help elevate up-and-coming women in the wine and spirits industry. So we brought people from all over New York, Hawaii, Florida, and these weren't just women off the streets. These people were all recommended by master sommeliers from all over the world. They went through a really intense application process that were reviewed by an advisory board, and it was really exciting to bring them here. And they all absolutely fell in love with the Paso Robles AVA and Atascadero. We'll skip some of these testimonials to save time, but we also were able to bring 2 scholarship recipients from the GuildSomm Foundation. They were from Texas and Arizona, and again, just another huge wine education foundation that we were able to partner with throughout this event. And we'll skip all these testimonials, but just so you guys know, we had a lot of great press and quotes from some of the most famous people and influencers within the wine industry, and they all had really, really great things to say, not only about the Paso Robles region, but about Atascadero and all the venues and all of you guys. So thank you.
Well, we look forward to 2020.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We're honestly here to say thank you. Because without this high caliber venues, we wouldn't be able to set the tone for a high caliber event. So really, honestly, thank you for sponsoring us.
It's been our pleasure, and we appreciate the caliber of the event that you have brought to Atascadero. I think it's a really good partnership, and we look forward to continuing it. Thank you so much for being here.
Do we have any questions?
I don't think any questions now, but no, I think we know where to. Well, Charles, did you say?
No, I think you addressed some of the questions I would. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. All right, now we are moving on to our consent calendar. All items on the consent calendar are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff, and so we generally just vote them in one motion. But if anybody in council or in the community has a question, we can pull an item and address that. Is there any member of the council wishing to pull an item?
I don't want to pull an item, but I had a question. We were just provided with draft minutes.
Yes, we have
was there
a
correction or
them.
Something?
Okay. Yes.
And can you? I assume it was something innocuous and minor.
Yes.
Yes. let me grab a. To tell you exactly where it is, under number 5 on the draft minutes for the strategic planning.
Right.
It was just changed to say the facilitators led the council staff and public through an exercise.
Okay. Thank you.
Any member of the public having a question? Pulling. All right. With that, I will ask for a motion.
I'll move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
Motion by Mayor Pro Tem Borbeau, second by Councilmember Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Borbeau?
Yes.
And Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Now we're on to updates from our city manager.
Oops. Thank you, Mayor and council members. The first item I want to talk to you tonight about is our recent storms. It's been fantastic to see a lot of rain. We've had a lot of rain in short periods, too. But overall, we've fared very well in the storms. We have seen some block culverts, some minor flooding. We had about half a dozen trees down in the right-of-way, so our crews were busy clearing those right-of-ways as quickly as possible. We have sustained a little bit of road damage on Coromar. We had a culvert that the edge of the road is kind of sloughed off near that culvert. And Balboa Road, which is not a city-maintained road, also sustained some damage, and so that road is closed right now. It's fantastic to see a community come together, and they have in these storms. We've had neighbors helping neighbors with downed trees. When a tree falls in the right-of-way, the city will clear the right-of-way, but it is the property owner's responsibility to clear that tree from their property. And we've seen a lot of neighbors. Kiwanis has helped pitch in, help neighbors clear that. Also culverts. A lot of the culverts are on private property. The city does not clear those culverts, nor can we clear those culverts. Those are the responsibility of the property owners. It's fantastic, again, to see the community come together to do that. We do have more rain coming this week, so I would like to remind everybody to please check those culverts. There's a lot of debris, leaves, those types of things that build up in those. Make sure that they're cleared out. Make sure that you're prepared for the rain. And just let you know that we're doing okay, but we have more to come. We also want to remind everyone about several events on the horizon. First of all, we have the 10th annual Dancing with Our Stars. So we have a lot of stars dancing. So Councilmember Susan Funk, Mayor Moreno, and our own Deputy City Manager, Terry Banish, will all be dancing as a part of this wonderful fundraiser. It's going to be March 21st, 22nd, and 23rd from 5:30 to 10 p.m. at the Pavilion on the lake. It has proceeds benefit the library. the AAUW, the Kiwanis Club, the Printery Foundation, ECHO, the Greyhound Foundation, and Paso Robles Youth Arts. Tickets always sell out quickly, but there are still some tickets available, so get yours now on the Friends of the Library website. That's a wonderful event and raises a lot of money for the nonprofits here in the area that allow this, make this community work. We also have the second annual Central Coast Craft Beer Fest, and that's going to be on March 30th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Sunken Gardens, with more than 40 breweries, 6 wineries, and 4 cideries coming from throughout the Central and South Coast. There'll be plenty of live music to enjoy and lots of great food for purchase. The Central Coast Craft Beer benefits local charities and the Central Coast Brewers Guild. The Guild's mission is to help educate consumers about the California Central Coast influence on local craft beer. Tickets are on sale now on their website. And I know March 30th sounds a long way away, but this is definitely a hot ticket. So if you want to go, I recommend you go to their website very soon and purchase those tickets. And we have our citywide yard sale, which benefits Parents for Joy. It will be held throughout the city on Saturday, April 13th. You can get some spring cleaning done and support a great cause at the same time. So the cost to participate is $15 a household and $40 for an organization. The deadline to register to participate in the yard sale and have your location placed on the community map is April 10th. So go to parentsforjoy.org and click Events tab. This is to complete our Parents for Joy playground. And speaking of the Parents for Joy playground, construction of the new playground is underway, and the main playground pieces arrived earlier today. The large treehouse structure was placed today at the playground. It was very exciting. A sneak peek will be held during the chamber mixer on February 21st at 5:30 p.m. at the Colony Park Community Center. Parents for Joy is continuing to raise funds so that they can fully complete the playground. So if you're interested in donating, please go to parentsforjoy.org, and you're able to donate there or participate in the citywide yard sale. That would be a fantastic way to help give back and make this playground the full reality of what everybody dreamed it could be. And I'm getting lots of questions about Atascadero Lake, and isn't that a cool picture with the rainbow there? So yes, we have been diverting water into the lake from Atascadero Creek through the lake fill pipeline for a little over 3 weeks now. Since January 1st of this year, and with all the stormy weather we've been having, the water level in the lake has risen about 5 feet. So that's fantastic news. And just in the last 3 days, the level has risen nearly 6 inches. So we have about another 7 to 8 inches to go before the lake spills over and water starts going down the spillway, and the lake will officially be full. We're expecting another good soaking tomorrow and Thursday, which is all good news. So we will continue to watch the lake. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Do we have any questions for the city manager? Yes, Susan.
Yes, Rochelle, on the could you go back for a second to the first slide, which showed the storm damage, and tell us the three pictures up top, where those were taken. Nick might want to answer that.
The three pictures at the top, did you say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe the first, the two on the left are on Coromar near Kerbero. So right now that road is down to one lane. There's a culvert failure underneath there. It's kind of a deep culvert, about 10 to 12 feet deep. And then the one on the right, I believe, is on Balboa.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions of the city manager? All right. Seeing none, we will move on to community forum. Community forum is reserved for persons wanting to address the city council on any matter not on the agenda and over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and we have turned on the sound timer so speakers know when their time is up. Please state your name for the record before making your comments. And know that comments made during the community forum will not be a subject of discussion. A maximum of 30 minutes will be allowed for community forum unless changed by the council. Any member of the public who have questions or needs information of any kind may contact the city clerk's office between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. at 805-470-3400 or cityclerk@atascadero.org. So with that, we open up community forum and come forward.
Pardon the noise. Those slides you just saw were kind of an opener for this, and they're your slides, not mine. Good evening. My name is Bob Kerwin, and I'm representing the San Luis Obispo County SCORE chapter. SCORE is a nonprofit with only one major goal, and that is to help businesses grow and prosper. We believe in the near future there will be significant infrastructure work that's needed in our communities. At times, some of these activities will impact adjacent businesses. It will be more difficult for the customers and employees to access their businesses. Recognizing this, our SCORE chapter has created a booklet that identifies a number of actions that our SCORE chapter has created. This booklet that identifies, well, I'm repeating myself, that business owners can undertake that will help them retain existing customers and perhaps even get new customers.
Keep directing your comments towards us and speak into the mic, and that way everyone can hear you.
Thank you. I'm here today to provide Mayor Moreno, the council, and city manager Rochelle Ricard with copies of these booklets. Having worked with many cities and city managers in our county, I recognize they do everything in their power to minimize the impact on businesses because of the improvements. We believe SCORE is an additional asset for all cities and businesses. My being here today is to make you all aware of this new service SCORE has, and that we're prepared to provide these booklets to any business owners that might need our help. Besides giving the business owner this booklet, we also offer face-to-face mentoring and workshops. We will continue to provide our services to any existing business or any person that wants to go into business for the life of their business. Additionally, the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce has recently provided us a room which now enables us to have our mentoring sessions and our workshops up here in Atascadero. I would also like to take this opportunity to remind everybody that all SCORE services are free. No client ever pays for a SCORE service. In closing, I'm happy to announce that for the fifth consecutive year, our SCORE chapter has gotten the highest award that SCORE National can give, the Platinum Service Award. 5 years in a row, that puts us in the top 4% of all 300 SCORE National chapters in the United States. Thank you for your opportunity, and if any of you would like further information, I would be happy to discuss this and what SCORE can do to help your businesses. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kerwin. Next speaker.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council and staff and the audience. I'm Tim Mahoney. I represent Southern California Gas Company. And, of course, in this area, your citizens of Atascadero are my customers. PG&E provides the lighting. We provide the gas. So tonight, when families go home and on a cold night like tonight, when they walk over and flip on the thermostat and that warm air comes out like it's filling up the chamber here, that warm air is brought to you by Southern California Gas Company. Folks are going to go home tonight, and they're going to cook a meal, they're going to turn on the stove and the burner tip, blue flame lights up. That's Southern California Gas Company. Chances are if you take a shower and get hot water, that water was heated by Southern California Gas Company. So I wanted to come out today and address a couple of different issues. I've had a lot of folks come up to me, and perhaps they've come up to you too, with the recent Diablo Canyon closing and the PG&E financial situation. And they say, Tim, how's the gas company doing? Are you guys okay? So I wanted to come out and assure you that we are okay, we're doing fine. The relationship that we have with the city has not changed. The franchise agreement, the franchise fee, working with your public works department, pulling permits, all that's working out very well, so thank you on that. And that's we're gonna keep up that going forward. So in 2019, a gas company is looking forward to getting a new source of gas. It's called renewable natural gas. Renewable natural gas comes from three sources. Landfills, dumps, wastewater treatment plants or sewer plants, and not so much around here, but in the San Joaquin Valley, there's a lot of dairies, and dairies produce methane, as all those three sources do. So right now, that indigenous native natural gas, renewable natural gas, is just going into the atmosphere and creating greenhouse gases and some other things like that. SoCalGas plans to capture that at those locations. We're going to, of course, have to clean it and scrub it like a lot of indigenous gas, odorize it for safety, and then put that into the pipeline and deliver that. So that's a project that we're going to be going forth in the future. Probably in a couple years from now, I'll be back here telling you about how we're going to put hydrogen in the pipeline. So there's a whole bunch of really cool, hip things that are coming on board like that, pretty scientific. And it's exciting. Lastly, I just wanted to address something else. You know, there has been a movement in California to electrify everything. And I've got nothing against electricity. I'm an electrical customer, and I don't want anybody taking my electricity away. But I don't want to see my house and my choice of energy sources taken away. And that can happen through legislation. So natural gas is a product that can be trusted and delivered to the customer safely, and it needs to be part of a balanced energy portfolio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Time's up.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker.
Madam Mayor, honorable members of the City Council, to the public staff here tonight, and also to the public safety leadership. Let me start by just saying, first and foremost, commending the public service ethic here in the city. That was a great presentation to begin with. My name, like I said, is Chris Egger. I'm the Director of Public Affairs for Cannabis Partners. I'd like to consider myself the face of the cannabis industry as it's emerging here in this kind of new era of, I would consider it to be one of the most exciting times in terms of a transition from what was confused and complicated marketplace to really a well-regulated, best practice-driven industry. I know that the region has a great history and a rich cultural fabric involving craft breweries and wineries. I believe our industry is evolving to meet that model. I have a 25-year history in urban planning, and as I came into this industry and found myself working with Cannabis Partners, we've assembled a leadership team that I think reflects what I would consider those best practice qualities that make our industry or reflect the best qualities of our industry. Now, I know that right now and in this particular time of this year that you're not directly looking at cannabis-related issues right now, but you did have the foresight to put a tax on the ballot and have it voted in, which, you know, allows you to let us prove our value to a community beyond our desire to be a transparent operator in the sense of good, ethical, community-centric conduct, but more importantly, to bring some added benefit and revenue in an era of time when I know all cities are looking at what kind of economic diversity can help support those goals and missions. Our company is dedicated to getting to know communities, not trying to shape the dialogue in a community. We're very responsive, we're very interactive, we're very proactive. As I said, I have a tremendous history in commercial real estate development from having represented Tejon Ranch over the years to many others like Eleanor Property and the transfer of March Air Force Base into a master planned community. So when I say that I come here humbly to say I'm introducing myself tonight, and that's it. Now, I've brought the chief operating officer of the company as well with me. We would never come here without having to get to know the community. So we're just here tonight to introduce ourselves, to introduce our industry. I know that over the time there'll be concerns, but we would like to prove to be one of the greatest additions to this community in the future. And I believe as you've embraced wine, as you've embraced craft brewery, we're an artisanal product, we're a crafted product, we're a California-founded company. We are currently licensed by the state of California, and we'll be opening and operating in various communities. But since coming to Atascadero, we really, really enjoy being here. We'd rather go to places where we would like to do business, not where we can do business. So we understand there's a dialogue that needs to happen. We'll do it transparently. And at forums like this and through introductions such as this and through discussions with city staff, I've brought these, and I'd ask the Madam Clerk if I could bring these and have them distributed to the members of the council.
You hand them to the police chief, and he'll make that happen.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker.
I have never done this, so God help us all. My name is Kim, and I live on...
Don't worry, we're all friendly and we need to hear you.
My name is Kim and I live on Mercedes Avenue. Our street is a tenth of a mile long and it is a 55 mile an hour zone on our street. We get on an average from anywhere from 160 to 320 cars going by our house on an hourly basis. And when you have people going anywhere from 30 to 35, 40 miles an hour up and down our street, it is darn right scary. I'm here because I have talked to city, I've talked to the police, I've done calming reports, I've called Caltrans and got reports, and I'm just asking for help. So let's see, it's about a tenth mile long, and there's not been any kind of report done since the bridge went in 10 years ago, and our street is now like an on-off ramp for going from traffic way over to 41, and it has turned it into a very, very, very busy street. I know there's a lot of roadblocks in the way, and so when I went to the city hall, they said, you know, go talk to the city. So here I am, I'm talking to the city to please get assistance to help slow the traffic down on our street. We can't get a ticket because the speed limit is 55, so the police can't give a ticket. We're just kind of at a loss, so here I am. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else wishing to speak at community forum? Seeing none, I will close public comment and bring it back. And I thank you all for your comments this evening. And I wanted to ask the city manager, is there something I don't have her last name, but Kim mentioning Mercedes, is there some information that you can provide us?
I will defer to the police chief because I know he and his team have worked with Kim on this.
Yeah, and certainly I'll meet with them again afterwards. Mercedes is a difficult street. It is a connector between two heavily traveled roadways, and so we do see a lot of traffic on that road. Currently, what we've done on a couple of occasions is put out the traffic trailer, which gives us an idea of what the average speeds are, safe speeds, et cetera. Right now, the speeds that kind of show up on that survey would seem to indicate that people are traveling within what would be considered a safe speed for the area. The average, I think, right now is 26 miles per hour. My time's up. Thank you very much. With most people operating within what's considered the 80th percentile of less than 30 miles per hour, a speed that's perfectly appropriate for that roadway. The difficulty is that it is a small street, and that when cars are traveling past, it can seem like even though vehicles are traveling at a speed that is within what's considered safe speed limits, it can seem very fast. And so we do empathize. We try and do some extra enforcement along the road as appropriate, even when we're not looking for speed issues. One of the things that will potentially have an impact on that is the redoing of the bridge.
that is to come. There will certainly be another speed survey that comes along with that, according to Nick DeBar. And we'll take another look at those speeds when the time comes and compare them to things like accident reports and other issues on the roadway. More than likely, the strong possibility is that if we were to set a speed limit for that road, it would actually be higher than what the average speed is now. The speed surveys often have that result in raising speed limits rather than lowering them. We would potentially see a speed limit go well beyond what the average speed of 26 miles per hour is now on the sign. So potentially that could create additional problems where people have a sense of freedom to speed a little faster than they are currently. It is something we'll continue to work with them on and work with the homeowners in the area on, continue to do enforcement in the area to try and slow traffic down. This is one that is likely to continue to be problematic for some time.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Okay. Thank you again for coming this evening to speak to at Community Forum, and I will now turn it over for our public hearing to, I'm assuming, actually, is this Phil Dunsmore? Okay, you weren't looking at me, and I thought, do I have that right? All right, our Community Development Director, Mr. Dunsmore.
Thank you, and good evening, Mayor and Council. Tonight we're going to be talking about a community facilities district. This one is for a six-lot subdivision as part of, actually, the Del Rio specific plan, over what we call it the annex of the specific plan. And let me just give you some, I'm going to give you some general information, first of all, on the CFD itself, since we do have a couple of new council members, and I want to set the stage before I tell you about the details of this specific one. Our original community facilities district is called 2005-1. We did establish that in May 2005. And we did that based on the state of California and the fact they allow the formation of these districts really to provide a financial mechanism that we can put onto new properties, new subdivisions, new projects, so that we can continue to provide services in the city. We can continue to be what we call fiscally neutral. And this is what our general plan has identified, and this is what we're continuing to look at for residential projects. This particular annexation into the CFD, again, it's for a six-lot residential subdivision in the Del Rio specific plan. The actual project was approved back in 2017. It is actually set back off of Del Rio and El Camino Real and actually accessed off of South Mirasol Way. And on that map, you can see that residential portion there, and there's the layout. And it's being developed by Clint Pierce. It was January 8th, just recently, that the City Council did approve the resolution on this with the intent to annex. That established the boundary. It set the date for tonight's public hearing for the annexation. And then subsequently, the annexation boundary was actually recorded at the county recorder's office. So what I'll tell you now is how this process works. And Laura's going to help me out a little bit with this tonight, too. Essentially, a council will be opening the public hearing. The council then closes the public hearing and considers the adoption of Resolution A, which would establish the annexation of the territory into that CFD, that original CFD. We would then close the hearing and then have a landowner election. Luckily, in this case, we only have one landowner. I understand we do have a ballot. The city clerk will announce the result of that vote, and then the city council would certify the election and introduce the first reading of Draft Ordinance A, which would authorize those special taxes. So, with that, I'm going to conclude my presentation and be happy to answer your questions, and we can go back to following this particular process at this point, and I'd be happy to help provide additional guidance as well.
Thank you, Director. First, I would like to go through the process and see if we have any ex parte, and that is where we let you as members of the public know if we have had any communication outside of this public process that weighs into our decision making. So with that, I will go from my left to my right. Any ex parte?
No.
None.
None?
None.
None.
Thank you. And with that, I see we have a question from Councilmember Funk.
Yeah, just a quick question for clarification. Most for the public, generally we speak, when we think of annexation, the natural conclusion is an annexation to the city boundaries. And I want to clarify, my understanding in this term is that this is annexation of the property into an entity called the Community Facilities District, and it does not affect the city boundaries.
Absolutely correct. We probably should look for a different word, because annexation does tend to make us think about bringing land into the community from an unincorporated area. This has nothing to do with that at all. It's simply bringing land into that Community Facilities District.
Thank you.
Any other members of council have questions? Seeing none, I will open it up to the public. Are there any members of the public wishing to speak on this item? Seeing none, we will close public comment. And so now what you are needing is a motion on Resolution A. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
To be specific, would move we drop draft resolution A.
Yes.
So I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Fonzie, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Bourbeau. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bourbeau?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
All right. And now you will conduct the we'll recess and have a quick vote, and we'll sit here while you. And now we're back. And roll call. What is the, or not roll call, drum roll, please.
So there was two. There's one ballot, but it's worth two votes, and both were yes, so passes.
All right, thank you. So now to certify the election and introduce for draft reading of Ordinance A, somebody needs to make a motion to do that.
Yes.
All right. So do we have a motion to do that?
I will move that we adopt draft resolution B, declaring the results of the vote.
And I will second it.
All right. We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Bourbeau and a second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
I have to read the title of the ordinance first.
Yes, please do.
Okay. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Atascadero, California, authorizing the levy of special taxes in Community Facilities District Number 2005-1, Public Services, including certain annexation territory. Okay.
Wonderful.
Councilmember Newsom.
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Funk.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bourbeau.
Yes.
Mayor Moreno.
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Wonderful. All right. Now
is there a third resolution here that we're supposed to do, too?
No. Initially, when the agenda had gone out, a resolution B had been put on there twice.
Gotcha.
And then it should have been the ordinance, which is why we did that amended agenda. Okay. So you're good. We're all.
Thanks.
Beautiful. Thank you. All right. Now we are on to council announcements and committee reports. And so on our own volition, if there's anything we're involved with in the community that we want to share with one another, or the various committees and things that we serve on throughout the county and the city. So I'll go ahead and go from my left to my right.
So on my list, I have CJPIA board we've yet to meet. I've yet to meet with the city schools committee. Design Review Committee met on January 23rd. We heard the public comment on the Holiday Inn parking issues, and we also considered a tiny homes project. Our next meeting is tentatively scheduled for February 27th. And that's all I have.
Thank you.
On February 1st, I attended the Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting. A special meeting, the purpose of which was to interview candidates for a permanent general manager, which we did, but we did not ultimately make a selection, as there was discussion at the end brought up by some of the county supervisors of potentially rearranging where the general manager might be placed, potentially being under county public works. So the whole board will have a further discussion on that at its next regular IWMA meeting. Before proceeding with selecting a general manager.
Thank you. So we had the SLOCOG meeting last week, and we basically had the adopted the distribution methodology for the RENA numbers. And so RENA is the Regional Housing Needs Analysis, and this is Basically, it's the amount of homes, 10,810, that we in the county are required to, as municipalities, make space for in our communities through zoning. And so at Tascadero, the number through all the work that's been done, we are at 843. And so what that means is between now, well, really it starts December of 2020, but anything we do now counts towards that, which is quite interesting, I might say. But 2020 to 2028, an eight-year cycle, we need to make sure we zone an additional 843 parcels for units, anywhere from very low income to moderate income, and that distribution will still get down the road. There will be a further draft plan, but it was the methodology and coming up with that number was key, and so we had a 60-day process where people could raise questions or argue against it, and that did not happen, so we are good at that 843. We are not required to build that. Of course, the legislature may change with the bills that are coming up. Seems like every moment we're hearing about new bills. But for now, as it stands, we're required to make the space. And, of course, the private industry is the one that builds the properties. At the mayor's meeting, something that came up, Supervisor Gibson is talking about the $10 million that we have as communities, all of us, from the Diablo Canyon settlement, and it's to be used for economic development. And the city of Atascadero, our portion is somewhere in the $780,000 range. And what the supervisor is proposing, and it's not a formal proposal, he's talking to individual council members and mayors, and he brought it up at the mayor's meeting, is he would like to consider all of us pooling our money together and maybe using up to 80% of it for affordable housing. And I understand the concept of regionalism and all of us working together and housing being important to economic development. But what I did say is that it would be hard for me, representing Atascadero, to say, sure, take our economic development money when we've been very good at providing housing and go use that to provide housing in another community that is rich with jobs and we're looking to get more jobs. So I let him know that was going to be a hard lift for us to do something like that, but just something that's out there. Lastly, I've had several conversations with Mayor Steve Martin up in Paso Robles. They're very aware that we in Atascadero have really been shouldering the responsibility for homeless in the North County, and they are really looking to do something about it. They don't have anything formal yet. Nothing has actually gone to their council yet. But what they would like to consider doing is they do have a 5-acre piece of property by their wastewater treatment plant that they would like to be able to put into the pot, so to speak, and go for HEAP funds. I forget what H-E-A-P stands for, but anyway, HEAP funds, it's a grant money, in order to build a homeless really a complete complex, if you will. They're looking at potentially 50 to 100 people that they could shelter, having warming and cooling areas in addition to the shelter, kennels for those that have pets, storage, case management, classrooms, and really a full service. That sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? But that's what it sounds like, really wrapping around and bringing all the services that would be needed. They're speaking with CAPSLO, they've been speaking with ECHO, they've also been speaking with Transitions Food and Shelter. What are the possibilities here? There is a meeting on Friday going over the grant process so they can get a better idea of what that looks like and how they would need to proceed. But what they'll really be looking for is somebody to manage that. So whether Transitions Food and Shelter could be that, whether it's CAPSLO, whether ECHO gets involved or someone we don't even know of yet, it's too early to really say, but this is a really good idea that I think could be phenomenal for the North County and really be a great complement to what we do in Atascadero with ECHO and really be a robust regionally address this issue of homelessness here in the North County. So that is what is currently happening in my council announcements and committee reports.
Thank you. I hope you keep us informed on that. That's a very interesting development on the homeless issue particularly. Councilmember Newsom had already reported on the design review committee, so I'm going to skip that but go on to the air pollution control district meeting that I recently attended. It was discussed, the strategic goals for the APCD was discussed, and one of the comments was regarding money that will go out for fueling stations or fueling for cars that are electric but not Tesla. And we have Tesla here in town, as you know, kind of over by Rabobank and Denny's. And I had heard that there was going to, Phil, can I catch you for a second? I look, looking at you because I had heard there was going to be a new filling station possibly that might have an electrical fueling component as well. And so I brought that up at the Air Pollution Control District, and they may be coming to the city of Atascadero asking where they could put those fueling centers. It seems like a likely combination to have a fueling center that has not only gasoline but electricity. So I just wanted staff to be aware of that and also our council. Thank you.
Okay. I want to report on behalf of the Homeless Services Oversight Council and also our homeless task force that Councilmember Bourbeau and I met on Sunday with the with Orlando Gallegos and Jan Mateson of the Transitions Food and Shelter group who are running the warming center in Atascadero. And the warming center is now established for the rest of this season in a converted home building at Dove Creek Church, and they are working with the city to address some fire safety issues to make sure that is safe for everyone who is there. They have transportation arranged through Ride On that's currently picking up at the transit center and letting off on El Camino near McDonald's early in the morning, so that they tend to stay away from the times where school children are using the those transport sites. In following up on Mayor Moreno's work with Mayor Martin in Paso Robles, there is considerable activity in this right now, trying to get together. Potentially could be a North County combined plant proposal in for the HEAP funds. TFS is interested in being part of that group and seeing and working with ECHO and others to see if we can get a comprehensive and very successful application for the grants. It's about a little under $5 million for the county, and there's quite a bit of interest around the county for those funds. So there's interest in being more competitive by having a combined thing. To that end, they have requested some leadership from the city of Atascadero on behalf of Atascadero's interests and would appreciate some dedication of some staff time. I think that I would ask the council members, I know our norm is that if it's something that's going to be more than an hour of staff time, that it is something that we need to have be a council choice. And so I would ask the council authorize the staff to respond to requests for meetings and participation in support of a comprehensive strategy to see that Atascadero's issues and concerns around how we address, you know, the homeless residents of our community with dignity, and also with attention to the things that create adverse public response. When you have people gathering, a large number of homeless persons gathering at any single public spot, that tends to elicit a public response of fear rather than a more constructive response of connection and compassion. So we have interest in how this is, the details of how this is managed and how arrangements would work in a combined thing, and I would ask if other council members are willing to authorize staff to be participating in those conversations to promote the interests of our residents and our community.
So I think it's very important that we do have a balanced regional approach to this homeless issue. And I specifically asked Mayor Martin today, is there something that you are looking for Tascadero to do right now? Is there some way that we can be participating? And he said, not yet. I don't know how that looks right now. And so I think we need to know more about what that looks like to be able to commit something. So I'm not saying never, but I would not be willing to say, hey, let's commit some unknown staff time to something that we don't know what that looks like. I would want that to be driven by, hey, this is moving ahead, and we see a partnership could be occurring, and I think there's still time to make that decision. But that's
I think for me, as Councilmember Funk mentioned, I was at the meeting as well. And then you mentioned that on Friday there's a meeting with the county. The county's going to talk with interested parties about how to apply for HEAP, the Homeless Emergency Assistance Program funds. And Transition Food and Shelter, TFS, intends to put in some sort of application. And they are working with the city of Paso Robles, or at least they describe that they are. My thought, and I mentioned this to the city manager earlier today in meeting with her, was that it would certainly make sense to me for the staff to stay in touch with Paso Robles on what they're doing, and also perhaps to at least touch base with TFS to see what it is they're proposing, because that was very unclear to me what it is they might propose and how it might directly involve Atascadero, whether they might propose to do something physically in Atascadero. So I think in that sense, we want the staff to be in tune with what's going on. And so I think it's important, at least on some minimal basis, that they reach out to TFS and certainly the city of Paso and stay in touch with what Paso is up to with both these parties, because they're going to build a request of some sort. And I don't think we want to be on them getting way out ahead of what we would be comfortable with.
No, and I agree with you on that. Right now, nobody is working with Paso. This hasn't even gone to their council yet. So this is a really exciting that there's this possibility. I know that TFS is very engaged and excited and can be very exuberant about what's going on and can start maybe moving in a direction where it's not going there yet. So I don't want to send staff in that direction of chasing after something that doesn't actually exist yet. So I would agree staying in touch with Paso. I will be doing that myself. And let's see where this goes. We're certainly not sticking our head in the sand and saying we're an isolated community. We do need that regional balanced approach. So I would like to hold off on any formal asking staff to do something other than, hey, stay in touch with Paso, which the city manager already does, and be aware of what's coming up. So
further concern, though, and Councilmember Funk brought this up, that we learned in meeting with Transition Food and Shelter that they were dropping folks off at the transition or at the transit center, which I personally observed one night, watched it, or they were picking people up there, and they were dropping them off in the morning as well. And then one morning I noticed that the place was very crowded at 10:30 in the morning, and the next morning there was nobody. So we learned that they are now dropping folks off at McDonald's, which I don't know how McDonald's feels about that. And there's a tendency sometimes for them just to go ahead and do stuff in the interest of getting things done. And so I think it's very important that our staff is in touch with them, which they are on their facility regarding fire safety issues, et cetera. I think it's important for staff to stay in touch with them so they are on top as much as possible on what it is they're doing and the kind of issues that it might create that Councilmember Funk described.
Understand that.
Yeah, and I would comment that I recognize the challenges of having this be a fairly unformed set of plans right now, but that this is a fairly rapidly developing situation. So I brought it forward tonight because between now and our next meeting, where we would have the opportunity to make this request a little more concretely, there may be a strategic opportunity to do a meeting for an hour or two and represent our city's interests in this very rapidly developing thing. I would like the staff to have permission from council to participate if that seems strategic to do so.
And I agree. I don't think that staff would need our permission to do that. I think if that's coming about and she gets a call from Tom Ferrucci, hey, this is what we're doing, and she'd be like, we're in. I'm getting okay. The nod from her. Mm-hmm. So I think that what you're saying is exactly what we would be doing
okay. In
that way. Am I correct, Ms. City Manager?
So what I understand is, again, stuff that I would do in my normal course of duty, which is we would coordinate with City of Paso Robles, figure out what's happened. If TFS asks for a meeting, certainly we are always available to meet with any group, for short periods of time. That would all be part of the normal course of business, and that's what I'm understanding you saying right now.
I think that will suffice for the next couple of weeks, and I would encourage us to revisit this very rapidly developing situation at our next council meeting.
We will see where this goes. Thank you. All right. We are on to individual determination and actions, and we have two tonight. We don't normally have any of these. I think in my 6+ years, we've had two of them or something like that. So the first one is mine, and it says that I'm going to discuss community engagement. This is something I brought up at strategic planning, and it's something that all of us at strategic planning said was very important to us, a priority, and that is public outreach. And so what I would like to propose is something that I'm calling Talk on the Block. And it is a way for us as the city to go out into neighborhoods and meet with individuals, meet with residents, and hear what are their issues and concerns. Ask questions, answer questions, and really have a back and forth. When we hired Terry Banish, which was a really great decision, one of the things we had that we really increased was our outreach in terms of the media, getting the word out, social media, pushing the word out. And what I've realized is we can do that all day long, and still the majority of people are busy. They're inundated with so much information that so many times they just don't know what's going on, and they don't necessarily know who to take an issue to, and they kind of think of City Hall as, they maybe don't want to come. It doesn't seem accessible to them, approachable. And so I would like to have us go out to people. Think about how many times we hear rumors of things and you have no idea how they get started. 2 years ago, I had individuals and businesses asking me why the city had approved 200 high-density, low-income units over at the Atascadero Triangle. Do you know what the Atascadero Triangle is? 11 people, self-help housing, beautiful single-family residents, and I had no idea where that information came from. So residents have all sorts of questions about what's going on in their neighborhood, code enforcement, roads, traffic, you name it. And so I would like to propose that we do something like that. The chamber was super excited about it. I asked them to be here tonight, and they have offered, really before we could even get going, they're like, hey, we want to help you and find locations and set things up and get this going. And I envision it as something where all of us, all five of us could be there. It would be a publicly noticed meeting. And so if we're able to be there, I realize that not every single one of us could every time. And then we would have department heads as well. But as I'm looking at the chief over there, fire safety, we set safety as one of our key priorities. And so when we think about the message that we want to get to people about, clearing brush, things like that, fire safety, that's another great reason to do this. So I would like to put that out there, and I realize that we said we were going to wait until staff came back with their recommendations, but I think we've all said that public engagement is a priority for us, and we have a lot of momentum with the chamber wanting to partner, and I would rather get in front of issues than try to trail behind them and really know what our public is thinking. So with that, I know it's not something we need to vote on, but I would love to get your input, and I know that Rochelle would be able to take our direction. Council Member Fonzi.
Thank you. Yes, it was discussed. I think it is really important. I think we may need a little bit of input perhaps from our city attorney regarding all five of us attending the meeting. Maybe it would be better with two. I don't know. This is something that needs to be determined if there would be any decisions made at those meetings, it might become a problem. So we'd need some guidance before we went into the meeting that we couldn't discuss things that we would agree with the public and say, yes, we want to take care of that for you, and we can't without it being handled a certain way legally. So I just would like to encourage the mayor. I think this is on the right track. I'd like a little guidance given to us if we're going to go forward with it on how to conduct ourselves, not necessarily the public, but how we attend the meeting and what responses and things we should and should not say.
I'm so glad you asked that. I envision this being similar to community forum, where we can all be there because it's a publicly noticed meeting. Mm-hmm. But a community, a forum, you can bring up anything to us. Staff can be answering questions, but we're not making decisions on anything. We're not taking action. And I do agree that we would need some guidance from the city attorney on how this would look. And I don't want to get too into the weeds about it tonight, but to get this concept that we could possibly move forward with. Do you have any comments on that, Mr. City Attorney?
Well, yes, I do. I think it's important that you understand that community forum is for items that are not on the agenda. And so what that means is that when you hear a public comment, you're not able as a council to discuss it. So you just can't have a meeting with just community forum and then expect that you're going to be able to interact with the members of the public on whatever item they happen to pick out that they want to address. The Brown Act requires that you have agendas for discussion items and that you would then specify those issues that are going to be discussed. Whether you're taking action or not doesn't really matter. What's important is that the public knows what it is that's going to be discussed at that council meeting. So you could include a community forum at that meeting to discuss items that are not on the agenda. You would not be able to interact with the public on those discussions, just like at a regular council meeting. If there were particular issues that you wanted to talk about at this, let's call it a special meeting, because that's what it would be, as I understand it. So at this special meeting, if there were particular issues, you want to talk about roads, you know, fire safety, you know, whatever your issues are, you put them on the agenda so that the public knows in case they have an interest in coming to the meeting and expressing themselves on it, and then you can have a discussion item. The public can comment on it, you can comment on it, the staff can provide you with what information you ask. So as long as it's on the agenda, it can be discussed. And you could include an action item if you wanted to as well, but I'm getting the impression that what your goal here is not necessarily for action items, but for discussion.
Yeah, more for discussion, so you can, again, that give and take of information, finding out what the issues and concerns are. And I likened it to community forum because that's often when we do find out issues and concerns that we didn't know about. And then not we as a council, but staff is able to say, you know, the chief might say, oh, here's what you need to do in that situation. Or this is why this is the way. Oh, we didn't know about that. Let's take that back and look at it. So I meant in that sense, I didn't think of it as community forum, but I meant that similarity we're able to do that kind of thing.
I understand, but I was trying to pivot off of that to explain.
Understand.
You can have, at these meetings, you could have a community forum period, and there could be issues brought up by the public on non-agenda items.
Got it.
You could not discuss those because they're not on the agenda.
Yeah.
And then you could have agenda items that are for discussion, which allows the public to speak on it. You can speak on it. You could ask questions to staff. You could give directions to staff to return to you at a future regular council meeting for consideration of a proposed action.
And could you have, I'm getting broad here, could you have a topic or a agenda item, that's the right term here, that is community issues and concerns?
Well, that's a little broad.
I know.
I think that the Brown Act would require you to be more specific in terms of what those issues are.
So we might be able to tailor it enough that it's specific enough for the Brown Act, but also broad enough that we can have a conversation with whatever might come up.
Right. And, I mean, one of the things you could do is have community forum at this special meeting that you're talking about, make a list of the issues that come up during that community forum. You're not going to be able to discuss them that night, but you could then, you know, make a decision as to which ones you want brought back for discussion at a future council meeting.
All right. So we have some different options to look at. Okay. Yes. Thank you. All right. Next, we have Councilmember Funk.
Yes, I am very keen on this idea. I noticed that and I'd like to see us do this on a quarterly basis so that people have an expectation that we will be around the community and engaging with these concerns. The topics may vary depending on the issues that are hot at the time or the issues that are of concern in particular neighborhoods. But I noted that in our strategic planning sessions, the section of that that had the highest quality engagement with the public was when we split out into breakout groups and addressed particular topics where council members, staff, and members of the public could do free brainstorming on particular issues that then have fed back into the plans that the staff is working on to bring back to us for implementing the key priorities in the strategic plan. So I would be interested from the city attorney if it would be possible for us to put those city priorities as discussion items on the agenda in terms of how might the city best achieve these goals in this neighborhood, and allow for breakout groups and reporting back of ideas that might be action items for city staff. They might be council issues. They might be ideas for community groups and neighborhood to pursue independently, whether that would be an option.
Well, I'm not sure I followed all that, but let me say this, that I did get this out of what you said. If you're going to, I guess the basic rule is, if you're going to want to engage with the public on this, you would need to have it described on the agenda. It can be in somewhat general terms, but at least it has to give enough information that the public knows what the issue is that's being discussed. For example, issues of concern. No, that's a little big. If you wanted to talk about roads or safety, fire safety, or, you know, you could have a general topic, but at least it's got to be enough information so that the public knows what it is and you know what it is that's going to be discussed. And it's also relevant for staff so that they can be prepared to, you know, if they have some information that they could bring to the meeting to enlighten the public and the council on that issue. But I'm not anticipating from what I'm hearing that you're expecting staff to do like a lengthy staff report like what would typically be in a council agenda.
Correct.
Okay. I would like to see us have the staff bring a very brief report to these kinds of forums with some basic information about the city.
Yes, absolutely.
A brief snapshot of the city finances. This is information that basically is already at hand, can be culled from the city's strategic financial documents, budget documents.
No, you're correct. There needs to be some sort of an introduction. We don't just show up and go, so what do you want to talk about? So there has to be some sort of here's some basic information, and then going into that.
And it would be particularly helpful to have opportunities for the public to get information on and weigh in on issues with respect to the Del Rio specific plan, the traffic calming in downtown, and to receive and discuss information that is specific to that neighborhood with regard to fire safety, so that we can have, if we're out in a neighborhood, let's have the discussion about.
So we don't need to get into too much detail right now, but I hear you.
Okay.
Awesome. Let's go to Councilmember Newsom and then Mayor Pro Tem Bourbeau.
I just wanted to say that I think that this is a great opportunity to reach as many people as we can. I think it'd be ideal if all of us could be there, but I don't have an issue with having a function where only two or three of us can be present, because I know we all have busy schedules. Phil Dunsmore did an amazing presentation at a chamber function. I think it was Good Morning Coffee, where he talked about roads. It's really specific. I'd like to see if we have to create an agenda that it's fire safety, roads, so it's real specific, and then those people that are interested in that topic can show up. I'd also like to possibly have the community or the public send in topics that they'd like us to discuss. Therefore, we can say, okay, in two months, this is what's been presented to us. That way, we are representing the needs of our community.
Thank you. And Mayor Pro Tem Borbo?
Yes, thank you. At strategic planning, when this came up, my specific thought was that it's, you know, good to go out in the community and have some discussions and invite more community input, but that I specifically would want to have the opportunity to address certain issues and ask the public for input on specific issues and not have a generic what's on your mind, although that can certainly be done in a community forum portion of such a meeting. So I very much had in mind more what the city attorney was describing, where you have a community forum portion, which is, hey, what's on your mind, but that we have some specific things on the agenda, and Councilmember Funk listed some of them, but, you know, I'm always interested in financial issues in terms of giving a picture of our revenues and expenditures and asking people what they think about that. We could talk about other things. We could talk about cannabis. We could talk about traffic calming, fire safety, whatever. And the reason I want that is one of the things that, as I think all of my colleagues up here know, but maybe the public doesn't know, is it's very frustrating, the limitation of the Brown Act, where three of us cannot get together and talk about something. And so it prevents us from having a productive dialogue. And so I don't want to go into a meeting where, you know, certain things are talked about and we can't discuss them together and exchange ideas, et cetera. So I would look that, you know, we do this. We have some things on the agenda, perhaps as broadly as possible, but specific enough so it complies with having a published agenda, and that we be able to talk with each other and exchange ideas. So.
And Councilmember Fonzie.
Thank you. I think I'm in the minority on this one, but what I wanted to do was I wanted to hear it from the public. I didn't want to have a staff dog and pony show on fire safety or Del Rio specific plan or other. I wanted to hear what they had to say and what the concerns were. Take the notes, think about it, bring it back, and discuss it later at the council. So what I'm hearing is a rather structured thing where we might take the same topic and take it to every meeting around town that we go to, and I don't think that's really productive. We can do that in our city council meeting, put it on our agenda, and get it out there the same way. This was to be neighborhood specific. It might be traffic, it might be garbage pickup, it could be any number of things. And really, that's what I was hoping for, is to hear the public, not to give the public information from us again that they've already heard. So I think I'm the lone voice here, but the idea of certain topics isn't particularly appealing to me.
Mayor Pro Tem Borbo.
To be clear to Councilmember Fonzie, I agree. I don't want staff to spend much time unless there's, you know, kind of background presentations they've already have canned that might be helpful to people. I don't want them to spend time and have structured staff reports this, because I do want to, you know, get the exchange with the public, but I don't want to have to just sit there like five mute people who can't then say anything in response to what the public brings up. I also feel when it comes to, I don't want to have serial meetings, you know, in different parts of the community about the same subjects. I think, you know, we can have meetings in different parts of the community, and maybe we include a couple topics here and a couple topics there. And I don't know how you feel about that, but I just want to be clear. I don't want staff to have to spend a lot of time putting stuff together on that. That's very important to me.
Councilmember Newsom.
I think the goal for the whole thing is to not have it so structured, but due to the Brown Act and what the attorney is telling us we can and can't do in public, perhaps it's a one-on-one coffee with each one of us and we rotate once a month. We bring back a list of all of the community's concerns and we present it as a public meeting, every meeting that we have. My biggest thing is roads keeps being the number one topic that our public's bringing to us, and they don't understand where their road falls. So perhaps if we go out in the community and talk about the, you know, city-maintained roads, or we have conversations with them, maybe that educates one more person in the community that then can turn around and share it with their neighbors. I consider this to be more of a neighborly meeting, neighborhood watch, things to get people more involved. I think our attorney might just have to tell us the best way to accomplish what we're looking for.
And I'm wondering if that, I mean, it is possible we could do it in twos, and so that we're not having a majority. I'm wondering if we couldn't also just say community issues and concerns that could include any of the following: traffic, trash, roads, and just kind of name the typical, you know, areas. And then those that we don't happen to name, they bring up during community forum, and it just, okay, we get your concern, maybe you can respond, we can't, and it is what it is. There's a certain limitation there, and that's okay. What I would like to do, I did ask, we've got some members of the chamber here I know who are excited about this possibility, and I would love to open this up to have some public comment from any of you. Please come forward to the podium and tell us your name.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christy Steele. I work with the Itasca Chamber. We put together just a draft of who, what, when, where, why for the Talk in the Block. We got a little logo here, too, so I can pass that out so you guys can kind of read a little bit more about it if you would like.
It's young energy and enthusiasm is awesome.
Heather Moreno basically said most of the things. I think one of the biggest elements is the chamber would be putting most of the work into this. Obviously, we can't do the staff reports and those kind of technical things that are for the city, but we would be in the communities. We would be finding a location. We would be finding the chairs, the PA system, any of those technical kind of event things that are necessary in these kind of meetings. We would be taking that on at the chamber. And I think that's pretty much the biggest thing. On the second page, we have a sample agenda that Mayor Moreno and we talked about, but obviously having a specific agenda is something that you would have to decide upon. But the chamber is here to work with you in any way that we can. We're super excited about bringing these topics to the communities. We have a couple target communities are Dove Creek, Del Rio, Spaghetti Hill, and Paradise Valley. Those would be the first that we would like to. We are proposing twice a year, and it would be Wednesday night we would go to Dove Creek. Thursday night we would go to Spaghetti Hill. Then the next Wednesday we would go to one of them and then the other one. And we would do that twice a year, maybe April or May, and then October, November as well.
Thank you. And you know what? I think since we've kind of gotten not a huge agenda, we're towards the end of it, and if anyone has any questions for you, yeah. And again, I don't want to get too into specifics. I want to get this general idea, and then and I'll work with the city manager, and then, you know, bring this back and let you know what this looks like, but we're not trying to nail down specifics tonight. Is there a council member Funk? I saw yours was, is this for Christy, or was this up from before your life?
This is from before. I'm still learning which button to push so I can.
Okay. So if you hold, you can hold. Yeah, does anyone hold have any questions of Ms. Steele? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And then are there any other members of the public that would like to speak on this topic? All right, seeing none, I will close public comment, bring it back to council, and Councilmember Funk.
Yes, just to clarify for Councilwoman Fonzie's benefit and all of us, I was not anticipating anything, a long staff presentation. I'm looking for I think it is helpful to the public for us to have a consistent fact base as we're dealing with some of our issues. So that the only thing that might be a little bit more extensive would be if there are neighborhood-specific egress issues in fire safety, that you know, might be a little more discussion about MAP and that kind of thing. But, you know, no long staff presentations so that we have the emphasis on hearing from the public as opposed to presenting information to the public.
Any other council comments? All right, so I'm hearing then that we have a consensus to move forward with this, and do I have, you're okay to work with the city manager on how this looks? Because we are looking at having, when we say a staff report, we really need some sort of introductory words that set the stage for what we're doing, and we'll work with the city attorney on how we might have to structure an agenda if we all want to be able to be there, and then bring that back to you and let you know what that might look like. All right.
Yes.
So let me make clear that you're not really making any decision tonight. The only thing that's going to happen is you've had a discussion, which is fine, and that you intend, as you just said, to work with the city manager, and it'll come back to the council for a future action item as to what the specifics will be for this community engagement.
And is that the way it has to go? And I ask just for ease, does it have to be this formal process that we go back through? Or can we say, hey, let's move forward with this. We have a general sense of what this is going to look like. I'll work with the city manager. We'll work with the chamber. And
the
let's
only,
get
the only thing
on
that
this.
The agenda says is this is going to be a discussion about community engagement.
And that's so, what we're doing.
And you've had that.
Yes.
Yeah, as I said, that's all good.
Yeah.
And then the outcome of the discussion was you're going to follow up with the city manager. And then any specifics with respect to this community engagement would be coming back to the council for action to give some decision as to what this community engagement is going to look like. I've heard, you know, maybe you're going to have two meetings, you know, from a member of the public, two meetings a year. Or is it going to happen that often or more often or less often? You know, what are the details of that? And it sounds to me like, from what I've heard, that you intend to have a conversation with the city manager about that, and then it'll come back to the council at a future meeting with more specifics.
I was not thinking that this was a formal action that we were taking. I don't know that to go out. And I'm no attorney, so we pay you for that. I see this as something where we can say, hey, yes, let's go do this. We're not taking action in terms of, you know, finances or zoning or anything like that. We're saying, hey, we're going to go out and talk to the public. So does it require a formal action for us to nail down specifics when we don't want to get into the weeds on all of that, but we want to say, hey, let's go out and do this public engagement. I'll be working with the city manager, with the chamber, and we'll get this moving. Can we not just do that tonight?
No, you can't just do that. Because all it says on the agenda is there's going to be all it says on the agenda is community engagement. Mm-hmm. So, as I've said, you could have a discussion, which is what you've had. Any further action that would be happening in terms of implementing whatever this process is going to be, as I understand it, is going to be followed up by you with the city manager for discussion, and it's going to take form, and then the council at some point would have to say, yeah, that's what we want. That's what we want to do. And it would be put on the agenda with a further description than just saying the two words community engagement. It would have some more substance to it so that it could be addressed.
I guess why I find that odd is that we're saying we have to have more openness and community engagement around us going out to do community engagement. So it just seems like one of those things where government works so slow and there's a reason for it, we get it, but this just, I feels like one of those instances where maybe it doesn't have to.
Well, it happens fairly often at council meetings that there'll be a discussion, there's going to be follow-up by one or council member, typically, often the mayor, with the city manager, and then it comes back to the council after that discussion takes place to provide further direction and input and action. So that's pretty standard, really, and it happens often.
Yes, I know that.
You have to have another meeting about having a meeting.
That's so. What I'm getting. Does the city manager have a question or any input there?
Can we give it to the city manager as direction?
I can work with the city attorney to make sure that we do this as quickly and as streamlined as possible, and go from there. Because I have a feeling we're going to try some things and do some of that, so I don't believe that we'll bring back an exact detailed action plan.
Right.
But we'll bring an action plan that we will participate in public engagement. You can officially give me direction to go engage in public engagement, and we should be good.
Yay. All right. Thank you very much. And thank you all for, I think this is exciting. It's something that we as a council, even, you know, prior to our new council members, it's been really important to us. And we have two new ones that it's also very important to them. And so I think the five of us coming together on this is really exciting. So thank you all for being a part of this. And now we have a final from our city clerk.
Thanks. We need to
confirm appointments for design review committee. We have the two council appointments, but we need to confirm the planning commission appointments and the at-large appointment.
And so planning commission appointments will be Dwayne Anderson and Mark Derez, and the at-large will be Jamie Kirk.
And I just want to make sure that all the council is good with that.
I'm wondering, were there any other applicants for the at-large position?
On this one, this is usually the one where the mayor kind of announces an at-large and then the council.
Because I'm certainly okay with Jamie. I just want, I thought there was an application process.
No. Outside of the applications that we put out for Planning Commission in and of itself, there isn't a specific application for DRC.
Do you need a vote on this, Laura?
I need a nod or something from everybody because this one is this is a city council appointed as
right.
a whole. So,
so why don't we just go ahead and do a first and a second? And Councilmember Funk, do you have a question?
Yeah. So I'm confused about the process here because I'm hearing that this is an appointment that is strictly the mayor's discretion to choose the persons to be appointed, but also that it's something that needs council to vote on to approval.
Well, it's similar to the, if you'll remember, the very first meeting when I made the appointments to HSOC, APCD, so I make those appointments,
right.
But then the council ratifies that.
Okay.
So do we have is that any other questions?
No, that would
okay. be. Do I have a motion for that?
I'll make a motion that we approve the mayor's choices.
I'll second that.
We have a first by Councilmember Fonzi, second by Councilmember Newsom. And can we just do a voice vote?
Yeah.
All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? All right. Motion carries. Any other individual determinations of which I'm unaware? All right. Meeting adjourned.